My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and I'll praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. I'll say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you do love him. I hope you do. I know you've heard me say this before, but I have a quote that I wrote that Charles Spurgeon once said. And he said, I want to love God so much that when I tell him I love him, he says, yes, Charles, I know it. And I'm thinking, I wonder how many of us are just saying that we love him, but not showing him that we love him. And we got to show him that we love him. Take your Bibles, if you would, please go to the Gospel of Luke this morning. Luke in chapter number 7. Luke in chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. I would invite you to stand with me out of respect for the Word of God. Luke chapter number 7. I'm glad to be in church.
Amen.
I don't know about you. Somebody asked me before church, preacher, you okay? I heard you coughing. Listen, I want you to know when you speak all the time, your voice gets raspy sometimes, gets irritated sometimes, and this time of the season when it starts getting warmer, you have allergies and things like that start happening. So I'm fine. Understand this. I've been dying since the day I was born, and so have you. And I'm fine. I don't have a plague or anything like that, just so you know. I just need some water to get this. Sometimes we use our voices a lot, and our voices get strained, and so you have that kind of raspy voice. I'm trying to be like Brother Ron Quick and sing bass. All right? That's what we're trying to do. So praise the Lord. But I am okay. Thank you for asking, though. I sure appreciate it very much. Luke chapter number 7, verse number 18. down through verse number 20. And the disciples of John showed him of these all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Jesus had been doing some miracles in these things, and you know they were looking for the coming of the Messiah, and John, being the forerunner of Jesus, was testifying of the Messiah who was coming, and some of John's disciples or followers were coming to him saying, Hey, we saw a man that was doing all these miracles, doing all these things. And he said, Well, go ask him, Are you he that cometh? Or look we for another? Are you the Jesus we've been looking for? Or are we going to continue to look somewhere else? And I'm going to preach this message to you. Are you looking for another Jesus? Or are you looking for the right one? Amen. You looking for another Jesus? Or are you looking for the right one? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here today. Lord, I stand where the arm of flesh will fail me. I need your help. I need your touch this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll touch my voice today. And Lord, I pray that you'll just clear my mind and heart of any distractions. I thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth of the Bible. Lord, may we glean from it. May we learn from it. And Lord, may we leave here changed. Lord, we give you the praise, the honor, and glory for all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Bible commands us when we're saved to look to Jesus. If you read through Hebrews chapter 12, it says, Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have the Bible that tells us all about Jesus, about his earthly ministry, about all that he has done on this earth, even going to the cross and dying on the cross. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but in the day, Jesus had not died yet, and Jesus is now beginning his earthly ministry. John the Baptist is that forerunner of him, and he's going out prophesying about the Messiah who's coming, preaching about that you need to trust him by faith. He's going to be the Savior of the world. And you need to trust him. And guess what? They got saved before Jesus, the same way you and I get saved after Jesus. And that's by putting faith and trust in what Jesus Christ is going to do or what Jesus Christ has done. And so that's how they trusted the Lord in those days. But John saying this, he said, based on these miracles that are happening, he said, I want you to go over there and I want you to ask him, Are you he that cometh? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one we're supposed to trust in? Are you the one we're supposed to follow? Or are we going to continue to look and wait? But see, we have a society today that's looking for the wrong kind of Jesus. And we have the right one. We know who he is. We know where he came from. We know all about him according to his word. But he said, Art thou he that cometh, or look we for another? And it said, In the same hour he cured many of the infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and many were blind. He gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see and the lame walk and the lepers cleanse and the deaf hear and the dead raised and the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. And so we see all that took place here. He said, Now listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back and I want you to tell John all that you saw, that the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, and the gospel is being preached to the poor. Because he understood that John would know exactly who he was when he got that message back. And I want you to understand something today. We know who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God who cometh to this world to seek and to save that which is lost. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And we sing, My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. We sing that song. And what a blessing and what a joy it is to know Christ is my Savior. And but there's a lot of times that we are looking around and we want Jesus just to be our wild card, as you would say. You ever played the game Uno? There's a wild card that fits for whatever situation. That's what we want Jesus to be, either our get-out-of-hell-free card or our wild card to use whenever we want him to be used. And that's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's not the Jesus we're supposed to have. Are you looking for another Jesus or are you looking for the right one? Firstly, I want to ask you this. Are you looking for a Jesus who doesn't expect complete fellowship? Are you looking for a Jesus who doesn't expect complete fellowship. You say, what are you talking about? In Romans 6, let's turn there if you would please. Romans chapter number 6. God using the Apostle Paul to append these words, and look what he says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, look what it said, we should not serve sin. I want you to understand something today. If you're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus, you are not your own. It is not your life to live the way you want to live it. And he said this, no man can serve two masters. If you read through Luke chapter number 4, guess what? He doesn't want you to serve anybody but him. He's the one that he wants you to follow him with all your heart, with all your soul. In fact, he told his disciples what? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. God expects complete fellowship. God does not want you to follow the world and follow him at the same time. We've been saved out of the bondage of sin, given liberty in Christ Jesus. We have the freedom that God has given us from the bondage of sin to live in the righteousness of God day by day. But we don't get saved, Brother Dylan, because we want the Jesus that expects complete fellowship. We get saved because we don't want to go to hell. But I want you to understand, you don't get saved just to escape hell. You get saved to serve Jesus. Amen. And a lot of us are looking for a God who doesn't expect complete fellowship. Lord, what? How can you expect me to do this? I don't understand why you want me to go out and to try to preach the gospel to people. I don't know why you want me to do this. But why do I have to follow you, Lord? I want to be Lord of my own life. I'll give you most of it, but I still want part of it. And that's the kind of Jesus we're looking for. And it's full in our churches all over the place. That's why we can sing, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Or we can sing the other songs and it doesn't really matter to us if we talk to everybody around us while we're singing. How we can have the Bible open and during the preacher preaching, we're chit-chatting with the people next to us. I'll tell you why, because we don't want complete fellowship to God. We want partial fellowship to God. We don't want to have to go forth and follow him just like he told his disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Can I help you understand something? If you don't win souls, you're not following Jesus.
Right.
What the Bible says, right? He said, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Well, preacher, he's talking about his disciples. Doesn't he say this, that if you keep his commandments, you are my disciples indeed?
Right.
You understand that God has made us to win the lost, and God has called us to do that, and God expects us to follow him in our everyday life. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. What path are we going on? Are we going on the path towards the Savior? Are we going on the path towards destruction? See, we have to understand as a believer in Christ today, let me challenge you to understand this fact, that you did not just get saved to go to heaven. You got saved to make a difference for God on this earth, that others can know who he is. So we want a Jesus that doesn't expect complete fellowship. If we continue to read down through Romans chapter 6, it says verse 12, let not sin therefore what reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye yourself members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall have no dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Look what it says. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness.
Amen.
You understand that who you follow is who you serve.
Right.
You follow God, guess what? You're going to serve God. You follow the world, you're not going to serve God. I said this in Sunday school. I was talking to Pastor Moore before service on Fox News this morning. They talked about the Christian nightclub. People come together in nightlife atmosphere, nightclub atmosphere. Only thing is, they don't drink. They don't drink. They dance around, do all the stuff, party, have their good time. Somebody gets up, opens a Bible verse, reads a Bible verse to them, and they all go home. You say, well, preacher, well, they had the Bible. They're just trying to reach the people with the gospel. Can I have you understand something? If you imitate a rattlesnake, people aren't going to get around you. Why? They're afraid of getting bit. So if we imitate the world and we imitate the things of the world, why are we going to try to bring God into the middle of it? Because guess what? You can't have both. God expects complete fellowship. He wants us to follow Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. In fact, the first commandment is what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so we have to understand that we ought to be looking for a God that we can follow completely with all our heart, with everything about us, but we're looking for the wrong Jesus. We're looking for one that wants partial fellowship. Secondly, we're looking for the Jesus that doesn't expect too much labor. I don't want Him to expect me to follow Him all the time, but He doesn't. Or listen, I'm too busy to work for Him. We're looking for a Jesus that doesn't expect too much labor. Look at John chapter number 9, if you would please. The Gospel of John in chapter number 9. We're going to look at some verses of Scripture this morning, try to be a help to you. John chapter number 9 and verse number 4. Jesus, He's healed the blind man from his birth and all these things. Look what He says here in verse number 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You know what He says is, I have a job to do. I don't have time to slow down. I don't have time. 3.5 years of earthly ministry, I'm going to do what I came here to do, right? Even when He was a young lad, 12 years old, He was in the synagogues preaching and teaching, and they said, where's He at? What's He doing? Well, wist thou not, I'm about my Father's business. You know what He said? He said, I'm laboring. I'm laboring for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the Lord Jesus. He said this, that I may win Christ. And he goes on and he says this. He says, I'm the least of all the apostles, but I labored more abundantly than them all. A lot of people in our churches today are looking for a Jesus that doesn't expect much labor. I want to come, just sit in the pew, read, listen to the preacher preach, go home, close my well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because we labored and we worked and we toiled and we worked and we labored and we toiled and we worked and we labored and we toiled. You say, preacher, I need time to rest. Guess what is laboring? Look all around you. Turn on the news for 5 minutes and watch what Satan's army is doing. They're laboring. To do what? To take Bible out of schools, to keep it out of schools. I just read there's something in West Virginia right now in legislation. They're trying to get them to put In God We Trust back in the schools. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. And guess what? We as believers in Christ ought to stand up for that. We have been silent far too long. And we need to stand up for righteousness and holiness once again. But the fact is, we have a generation of people that won't stand up for it. Why? Because they didn't get saved to have Jesus. They got saved to go to heaven. Did you understand that without Jesus, you can't go to heaven? And if you just prayed a prayer to go to heaven one day, let me tell you this, you're probably lost. Because when you get saved, guess what you have to do? Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Accept Him as your Savior. And when you do that, guess what? You, by faith, have now received Him as your Savior. And guess what that means? He's Lord of your life. He said, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We want a Jesus who doesn't expect complete fellowship. We want a Jesus who doesn't expect too much labor. Preacher, I just think we're just so busy in our society today, and You know, but honestly, if you look how much people post on social media, you find out they're really not busy. They're just posting it on this, or I'm busy. They walk in church and their thumbs are so big they can't fit their hands in their pockets. Because they're good at video games and good at texting. And you understand, we laugh about it, but it's serious. It's serious today because we do not have a mindset of laboring for Christ. We don't have a mindset of giving our all for Him and sacrificing for the Lord and being willing to go above and beyond to make sure the gospel's going forward, to make sure we're giving out of a sacrificial heart so we can do more for the cause of Christ. Sometimes when a preacher preaches about expanding and doing things, we say, well, he just got too big of a vision. Well, there is no vision, the people perish. You understand there's more people in Martinsburg that need to be saved. There's more families that are broken that need to be reunited. There's more people that have been saved that are really just lost and looking for truth, and they need to find somebody to do it. And guess what we ought to do? Follow God to where they are. Labor abundantly to try to win them to back to Jesus and try to show them that He'll restore them and help them along the way. And we have to be willing just to labor and work. I don't know about you, Brother Dylan, but I don't want to stand in heaven one day or watch that great white throne happen and people look at me and say, why didn't you tell me? You had the truth. You knew the truth. Well, I was tired. I was too busy. You don't understand. I was pastoring a church and I had a lot of people in the church that had needs and I was trying to help them, so I neglected you all. Listen, I think it's important to meet the needs of the church and try to be there to help you all, but I have to have balance. And I have to be willing to labor for the Lord. Somebody said this one time, preacher, you got too much on your plate. Well, I just need a bigger plate. Because the fact is, we can't quit doing for God things that we aren't doing. But let me help you with this. A lot of people could take a lot more off of their plate if more people would grab a plate. A lot of people say, well, you got too much on your plate. Well, pick up a plate and help. The buffet's still full. Guess what that means? Y'all need to eat some of it. And we look around and we laugh about it, but the fact is this. Most of the time, 100% of the work is done by 10% of the people. And you say, well, preacher, you don't understand our circumstance. We can use whatever excuse you want to use. The fact is, things are more important to us than God. That's why we don't labor for Him. We want a Jesus or a God who doesn't expect complete fellowship. We want a God that doesn't expect much labor. John said, art thou he that cometh, or look we for another? And I think a lot of times we're saying, well, I'm looking for one that doesn't expect me to follow Him. I'm looking for one that doesn't expect me to labor for Him. But another one, we're looking for a God that doesn't chasten us. A Jesus that doesn't chasten His children. Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. We want a God who wants to let us do whatever we want to do. And guess what? God gives you free will. God lets you do whatever you want to do. But as His child, guess what He does? He chastens you. But we want to be like King Saul. Oh, I've done wrong, but do me no harm. Oh, God, I'm going to live the way I want to live, act how I want to act, do what I want to do, but don't judge me. You say, preacher, we're not that way. Really? Then how come when somebody says something to you, you're like, you shouldn't judge people? It's what we say, right? Most of the time, people that say you shouldn't judge me are people that are guilty about what they're doing. And they're mad that you brought it to the forefront. The Bible does say iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. It also says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now, some people think it's their obligation to tell everybody else about their faults. To go to other people and say, you're doing this wrong, and you're doing that wrong, and you're doing this wrong, and you're doing that wrong. Let me help you with something. Look in the mirror before you ever point a finger at somebody else. But a lot of us, we don't want to serve a God that's going to chasten us. We don't want a Jesus that's going to actually make us have consequences for our actions. We want to be able to just slide right through like everything's okay. See, when John was asking, art thou he that cometh, or look we for another, he wasn't saying, we need to look for another Jesus so that we don't have to do these things. You know, he said, hey, we're longing for the Messiah. We're longing to follow after you. We're longing for your presence here so that we can follow you and see people's lives changed and all these different things. That's what they desired. But we're asking for another Jesus because we don't want what Jesus brings to the table. We're comfortable in our religion. We're comfortable in our Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening worship. We don't want any more than that. How can God expect more than that? God expects every day. God expects a lifestyle. He gave you His all, didn't He? We want a Jesus that doesn't chasten His children. We want a Jesus that says, oh, go live how you want to live, act how you want to act, do everything that you want to do, and I'm okay with it. If you're happy, I'm happy. Not how Jesus works. You're not looking for the Bible Jesus. You're looking for the made-up Jesus. The one that we've conjured up in our mind and in our hearts, saying, oh, this is what we think we ought to be. And I know it's a little hard to take this morning, but I'm to the point in my life right now where I'm just tired of God's people putting on a show.
Amen. Good.
I'm tired of God's people saying, well, we love God, but they don't serve God.
Amen.
We care about God, but we don't tell anybody about Jesus.
Right.
We love God, but we're going to live how we want to live, act how we want to act, dress how we want to dress, say what we want to say, and nobody can tell me different because they're not my boss. How about you get in the Bible and find out what God expects?
Amen.
Find out what God expects. Listen, I'm not your boss. God is your boss.
Right.
I'm just a mouthpiece, a messenger. And if what I say matches Scripture, you don't say, well, this is what Pastor says. You say, this is what the Bible said.
Right.
So that's what we got to follow. Thus saith the Lord. This is where the authority comes from.
Right.
Is the Bible, right? And guess what? God expects complete fellowship. He wants you to follow Him completely, not one foot on Him and one foot on the world.
Right.
He wants us to repent of that, turn away from it, and submit ourselves or separate ourselves unto God. He wants us to labor for Him. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Do you understand the field's still white unto harvest?
Right.
But the laborers are few.
Yeah.
It's sad today. I mentioned this in men's prayer time. I know of 5 good Baptist churches within a 5-hour radius of this church that don't have a pastor. You say, why don't they have a pastor? People aren't answering the call. God hasn't quit calling people. People quit answering Him because they say, well, God, I've seen the poverty that preachers live in. I've seen that they have to struggle in this or that. Oh, I've seen that there's just no money in it. You understand, I'm not living for what this earth has. We're not living for what this world has to offer. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. Listen, I'm not thinking you ought to live like a pauper. If God's blessed you, praise the Lord for it. But preachers ought not to preach to earn money. They ought to preach the Bible. I do believe that people ought to take care of their preacher. But the fact is this, we don't come to preach so that people take care of us. We know God takes care of us for doing what God wants. But here's the problem, is too many people are focused on what the world says is success, not what God says is success. And so they don't surrender to the Lord and what His call is on their life because they look at the ministry and they just say, well, I just don't know if I can do that. Let me help you. You can't. And I can't. Without the Lord. So we have to follow Him. But that's just around our church. Within 5 hours of our church, I know of 5 good Baptist churches that preach right, believe right, but they don't have anybody to fill the pulpit. You know why? Because, oh Lord, here are they, send them. Not me. How about if we just had Isaiah to say, Lord, here am I, use me. God, if you can use me, use me. How come we don't have missionaries? How come in the 1970s there's statistics to say 75% of our young people went off to Bible college, surrendered their life to ministry, and now we're down to 3%? Tell you why. Because we don't want a Jesus that expects fellowship. We don't want a Jesus that expects too much labor. We don't want a Jesus that expects us or that chastens His children. We want one that lets us follow whoever we want to follow. Work whenever we feel like working and not when we don't feel like working. Who doesn't ever discipline us, just lets us do whatever we want to do, and we become like those kids that you see walking down Walmart. That when they don't get what they want, they throw the temper tantrum on the floor, and finally mom says, fine, you can have it. Guess what? You just lost the battle, mom. Just lost the battle, dad. God gave you those children to raise in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, not for them to raise you. They throw a temper tantrum, let them throw it in the middle of the floor. Keep going about your business. And then deal with it at home. And I promise they'll never have a temper tantrum again if you do it the right way. Okay? But understand something. When we give in to that fleshly desires, guess what it does? It doesn't fix fleshly desires. It feeds fleshly desires. We want a God who doesn't want to chasten his children. But lastly today, a lot of people and a lot of religions all around the world are looking for a Jesus that doesn't expect us to trust him to be saved. They just want it given to them. Can I help you with this? God wants every person in this room, every person in this world, no matter where they live, no matter where they've come from, he wants all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, so that all should come to repentance. That's what he desires. It's what he wants. There are a lot of people, though, Brother Kenny, they want to go to heaven because they're good in the eyes of the world. Their good outweighs their bad. And since their good outweighs their bad, they think, well, how could a loving God, because I'm just a good person. I mean, I have some character about me, and I believe in being kind and helping others, and I've never been arrested for anything, or I've never had this. So God should definitely look at me and say, well, your good outweighs your bad. So you should enter heaven. The Bible says our righteousness are filthy rags unto the Lord, and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that in our own self are worthy of heaven, because we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, it's a one-way road, a one-way street to heaven, and that's through Jesus. I was watching an article or watching an interview one day, Brother Eddie. They were interviewing Joel Osteen, and they said, how does somebody get to God? And this is what he said: there's many ways to God. Can I help you with this? If you watch that garbage, turn it off. Because there's not many ways to God. There's one way. And that's through Jesus Christ and Him only. Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what He did on that cross of Calvary, who paid for my sin debt and your sin debt and the sin debt of the whole world. That the Bible says without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. And the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived sinless upon this earth. By the way, Jesus was not a sinner. Anybody who thinks He was is unbiblical. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, died on the cross, shed His perfect, innocent God blood for you and I, and it satisfied the wrath of God. And when He rose from the grave, He ascended into the clouds, put that blood on the mercy seat in heaven. You know what? I can be saved today. You can be saved today. Not because of what I have done or what any kind of religion teaches you, other than the fact of what Jesus Christ, through the finished work of His death, burial, and resurrection, which is the gospel, that's the only thing that can save us. But we want a Jesus that doesn't expect us to trust Him for salvation. Doesn't expect us to believe on Him. We just want to go to heaven. Can I help you that there's a lot of people in this world that profess to be an atheist? A lot of people in this world that say there is no God. But Brother Jason, you know what I find funny? Is these people that say there is no God or that they're an atheist, don't believe in a God, they still believe in right and wrong. Which is intriguing to me. Because if there is no God, then there is no absolute and there is no right and there is no wrong. If there is no God, how does man know the difference between right and wrong? If there was no God, how could we say, well, this person's bad and this person's not bad based on their actions? Because we know inside of us that there is right and there is wrong. And where does that come from? Because we had a holy God who created man perfect in His image, but man tainted that through sin, and by one man's sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We all understand the difference between right and wrong. And everybody in this world has an idea of right and wrong. In their mind, they think this is right or this is wrong. This person is a murderer. That makes them wrong. Well, what makes them say that that's wrong if there is no God? See, a fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They're foolish and deceiving their own selves to believe that there's not. Because I'll tell you this, inside of the heart of every one of us, we know that there's a God. We know that there's some higher being than you and I. All of this didn't just happen by an explosion. It didn't just come together. By the way, most explosions don't bring things together. They blow things apart. But you look at the sunrise and the sunset and the seasons and all that's taking place, and you can't tell me there's not a God. But there's a lot of us that expect God just to grant us salvation because we were born. But he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Did you understand that you don't gain salvation because you deserve it? You gain salvation because you believe in what Jesus Christ did, even though you don't deserve it. You believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ for salvation. Are you looking for the right kind of Jesus? Or are you looking for the made-up Jesus? Are you looking for the Bible Jesus? Or are you looking for a different one? The Bible Jesus expects you to follow Him. The Bible Jesus expects you to labor. The Bible Jesus chastens His children. And the Bible Jesus says there's only one way to heaven. And that's through me. No man cometh unto the Father, He said, but by me. What kind of Jesus are you looking for this morning? Because there's only one. There's only one kind of Jesus. And that's the Bible Jesus. There's only one God. There's only one God. We've made up a lot of little g gods in our life. And we need the true God in our life. Are you looking for another Jesus? Or are you looking for the right Jesus? Because I'll tell you what will happen. When you get the right Jesus, things will change. Things will start going forward. When you start following Him, guess what you'll start doing? Laboring for Him. And when you mess up and He chastens you, you'll love Him because He's a father that chastens you as a son or as a daughter to bring you back into fellowship with Him for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And aren't you glad that we have a God that said there was nothing we could do to get to heaven? So He made a way. He made a way. And there's only one way. And that's through trusting Jesus as your